This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. Good morning, and it is a Friday.
Sure is. We are finally here. And it's going to be a fairly nice weekend, I think, from what people are predicting. I'm wearing a sweatshirt today, but I might not need it before the day ends.
You might not. From what I've seen, it should get up into the low 60s today. That'll be a nice change. It looks like there's going to be some sun. Maybe a few clouds, but it should be a pretty decent day. I'm looking forward to it myself. Dry some things out.
Actually, we do have something planned for Saturday, but really no outdoor stuff planned. I know Lynn keeps talking about taking some days, PTO days, but I haven't really scheduled anything for fun yet. I've got a couple appointments, non-fun appointments coming up, but which I took some time off for, but yeah, I need a little more of a guarantee that it's going to be nice to take something off in advance. But yeah, so what do you have going on this weekend?
Well, tonight we babysit the kids so that my daughter and her husband can go out to dinner with some of their friends, and tomorrow morning I have a work party down at Blaisdell that I need to attend. So that'll take up most of the morning, and then I'll probably shoot some trap on Sunday, but I got to do some work on the pool. There's the birds like to drop stuff into my water from their nests, and it's making it a mess, so I got to get the leaf rake out and scoop all that out and then vacuum it, and hopefully it'll be ready so they can put the solar covers on and start trying to warm that baby up.
So imagine that water temperature right now is still pretty cool.
Yes, I've had my hands in it a couple times. That's as much as I'm going to put in it, and it is really cold.
I was just thinking back to some of our, it actually was summertime tubing adventures. We've done it twice. The Adirondack Adventure Company has they do whitewater rafting, they do tubing. We've done their tubing excursions. Basically, they load up buses with tubes on top, and you drive off to some place on the Hudson River. They drop you in. The bus goes to a different spot. You float down the river. They load you up and take you back, which is really cool. Really cool in and of itself, and since it's further north in the Hudson, the water's pretty clear, and it's really nice. I was just thinking back how nice it was. The water was comfortable, everything was great, and then we passed this point with this little, I don't know what you would call it, tributary. It was just like this brook that met in with the Hudson at that point, and wow, what a difference in temperature. I don't know where that water was coming from, but it sure was cold, and then it warmed back up again when she got past there. But yeah, it's something how much energy it takes to get that water warm, and this was in the summertime, and it just felt frigid. It was weird.
Sounds like it might have been spring fed. I remember there was a farm that we used to play on their property. It was probably good thing no one got hurt. And there was a spring that we used to drink out of, and no matter what time of year it was always cold. You know, except during the winter, obviously it didn't freeze because it was always running. But yeah, spring fed and cold. So and my uncle had one on his farm too. Always cold water. Ran right in the house. He had it pumped right in the house and ran 24/7, and always cold, fresh. It tasted good. That was down in Arcade.
We may have talked about this before, and I don't know how good the water was, but there used to be a, what everyone thought was a spring. There was this spout. Basically, it was just a pipe that always flowed water in Marilla. So we'd ride our bikes out there, and that was the spot. That's where you filled up your water bottles. You drank them down a couple times. You filled it up again, and we went on our merry way. We used to see people filling up jugs of water there, and that's since been eliminated. Where that now runs off to, I don't know. But yeah, if it tasted bad, it didn't register to me. I thought it was pretty decent.
Yeah, the same for me with the both my uncles and the one on this other farm. Always tasted pretty decent to me. I never had any problems with it. I don't think I ever got sick. But there was a stream down behind my parents' house in this other field that we used to drink out of, and it tasted fine. It was clear, and I don't know. We probably got really lucky on that one.
Watch enough alone episodes and heard horror stories that even if it's running water, you know, if it's out in the open like that, that's not necessarily going to be good to drink. Coming right out of the earth filter, your chances are much better, especially if it's just been flowing like that for a long time. That's cool. Nice memories there. Maybe I'll pause and see if anyone else is joining us. This is K2PCB. Anyone wants to pop in, anytime. As the sun's coming up, I'm starting to see some more color. It's starting to look a little nice. Makes me wish I wasn't driving to work right now. But what are you going to do? What we did see, you know, definitely telling us the signs of nicer weather, and it's nature telling us that, is we had our first hummingbird the other day.
Ooh, a hummingbird. That is nice. That's something we haven't set up, is a hummingbird feeder. I think we've tried it a few times. We do have a number of plants that attract hummingbirds, and either sitting on the porch or sitting at the front porch or the back porch, and you can see them going to those flowers, and it's really kind of cool to watch them. It is amazing.
It's something over the years. I think I have seen them when I was younger. I've seen these wing things flying around, buzzing around, and I didn't think too much of it. Growing up, we didn't have feeders either. It wasn't until, I hate to say it, it might not have been until Lynn, always wanted to put out a feeder, and has been for a long time now, and my family started getting into it as well, but it's something. Their whole migration distance and how many of them there are, if you actually look for them, especially if you've got something out there to attract them. And what is it, the butterfly bush, which seems sort of like you're attracting the wrong thing, those seem to also bring in the hummingbirds. And with the feeders just being sugar water rather than seed, it seems like a little cleaner of a situation, rather than having the seed all on the ground attracting the squirrels and whatnot. But you do have the potential to get ants. And even if it's up on a pole, you can get ants, and they'll find their way there. We've already got our hummingbird feeder out there, and yeah, it's kind of cool when they fly in. I don't see the colors very well, but Lynn will call out, what colors they are and whether they're male and female, and looking at them, it's kind of lost on me. It's a hummingbird.
I same thing with the hummingbirds. I don't always see their colors really well. They're flying. It's harder to see. My grandson There's this one woodpecker that flies around their house, and he spots it right off, and then I have to go look for it. I know that I am colorblind to a certain extent. They found that out when I went in the Air Force.
You've done a pretty good job of living with it, or it hasn't been too bad. And the same here. Just there's certain things that I have to ask questions on, some limitations, but yeah, I'm getting by just fine. No worries. Yeah, as we're cruising along and chatting here, I'm looking for all the signs of summer, and you know, I'm seeing the dandelions coming up, and yeah, you can tell the people that treat the lawn versus the people that don't. I'm not a, I have nothing wrong with dandelions, but it's kind of funny. People definitely take a stand one way or another.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you can tell the people that treat their lawn and the people that don't. I am definitely a dandelion disliker. I don't like them in my yard. But I'm also, I tend to do the rifle approach to weed control versus the shotgun approach. I'll get a bottle and just spray them as I see them, and eradicate them that way instead of just spraying weed killer over the entire lawn. Because there is, I like, believe it or not, clover, because it does attract the honeybees. I do like them to come and do, so I try to reduce the use of a broad, just weed killer over the entire lawn. I try to eliminate that.
Yourself one of those weed pluckers, if you don't have one, and it'd be therapeutic to go out and pop it in the ground and take them all out one at a time. They're available if you want to buy one.
Yeah, I do have one, and I do that from time to time. I will go out, especially on a day like today where it's rained quite a bit, the ground is soft. This weed puller will definitely, usually if I can get it lined up correctly, I can pull out the whole taproot of a dandelion, and that's quite satisfying, and it is quite therapeutic.
Aerating your lawn all at the same time.
Yes, because it does leave a little, this one leaves a fairly large hole in it. But yeah, it is aerating the lawn at the same time.
Up in the parking lot here, Jeff's here. Looks like he is in deep thought over there. Oh, he's waving now. Good morning, good morning.
If it wasn't for the weeds, I wouldn't have a lawn. PCQNBN.
Yeah, that's the way my front lawn mostly is. It's mostly weeds. I'm slowly trying to eradicate them, but they seem to get the better of me.
My neighbor across the street is a retired person, and his lawn is completely grass and green, and then mine is more yellow than green when the weather's right.
It sounds like you've got a lot of dandelions and or my wife calls it lesser salivine. It's a little white or little yellow flower, and some glossy green leaves.
And with having a dog, we really don't want to spray harsh chemicals and kill everything. But the only way to really get at that is chemical bombardment for quite a while. And the dog would just sit there and be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, we didn't treat our lawn when we had the dog. And then after we put him down, we did treat the lawn. But the lawn company was throwing fertilizer into my pool. At the time, I didn't realize that they were throwing fertilizer in the pool. And I just kept getting algae bloom after algae bloom after algae bloom. And then when I figured out what was going on, we stopped having them treat the lawn.
Purposely doing that, or was it just overspray that was getting into the pool?
I don't think he was doing it on purpose. but he was using a broadcast spreader for some of the stuff, and it was just throwing it on. And I found it one day on the winter cover, and I looked at it, and I go, that's fertilizer on the cover. And that's when things started to click. Took the water, got tested for phosphorus, and sure enough, my phosphorus was through the roof. And that would explain why algae, being a plant, was doing so well in the pool.
Looks like we bought some of this fertilizer, and there was even a warning on the back of the package. Even online, people said, you know, it can cause the things you don't want to grow really well, molds and whatnot. And we put it in our house plants, and every single potted plant seemed to start flourishing with this growth out of the soil that we were not really expecting. And it wasn't hard to, you know, kill back, and you just mix it in and it would seem to disappear. But anytime you added that fertilizer, yeah, it would cause that pot to flourish. So good or bad, we stopped using that. I've got 645, so I'm going to say 73. And I'm going to run and get this Friday started like we were talking about. The sun's coming up, and I better get inside before it makes me want to change my mind. This is K2PCB, 73.
73's KC2NBM.
73's to you both. This is KE2GDQ listening for any calls.